Angunas. I don't know what's going on here. Seems like it's jumping a lot. Jumping? What's jumping? Yeah, we're jumping. There's only one little thing. The beach jumping. But I'm not jumping. Well, I'm jumping a bit because Arsenal did win a couple of games in a row, and that's got to be good in anyone's language. There's so much jumping. Yeah, and, you know, it's coming to the new year, and, you know, I'm trying to sound cheerful. And it's semi-easy to sound cheerful, what with the recent results. Beating Chelsea, you've got to be cheerful about that, surely. And beating Brighton, you've got to be cheerful about that too. The thing I'm not cheerful about is there's no fizzy. So without fizzy, it's a bit like cornflakes without milk, as they say. So anyway, I'm gonna try and soldier on without him. It's difficult because he's been the guy doing all the ranting, and I've just been sort of semi-listening and walking off and doing other things and coming back and going, yes, yes, Alex, yeah, keep going. And that's how it's been lately. It's a bit like the way probably I've been the Shaka of this team, you know, in that I haven't really done an awful lot. I've just sort of been there. And maybe I've even got the captain's armband now and again. That's the way I've been rolling lately, and I'm not saying it's a good thing, but I'm trying to be positive, especially as there is so much to be positive about. And, on that note, obviously, I'm really happy about the way Arsenal played, particularly against Chelsea. It was just phenomenal. And I have to, it's a moment where I have to take hats off. Not that I'm wearing a hat, but if I was wearing a hat, I'll be taking it off right now and saluting Alex, otherwise known as Fizzy, because he called it right. He said, put the kids in. Kids can't do any worse than the adults. And you've got to say, you called that totally right. And I can admit it. I'm not like Shaka. I can say when I've made a mistake. And I made a mistake on that because I've always been a fan of Smith Rowe. However, I'm not so sure I would have played him against Chelsea because that was a big game to throw a youngster into. And yet he acquitted himself well. So if anyone wants to join me, I think somebody might want to do that right now. So can't be doing a lot more swearing than Alex, that's for sure. So what could possibly go wrong? Maybe everything.
Hi.
Can you hear me? I don't know. I'm connected to somebody.
I can hear you.
Somebody's connected, but I'm not hearing too much. Wait, let me put my headphones on. Maybe I can hear you through that. Right. Can you hear me out there?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Oh, cool. Right, have you got anything to say about the Arsenal-Chelsea game or the Arsenal-Brighton game? Anything to say on that?
I don't watch soccer. I don't know anything about soccer. But
okay.
I want to tell you this, because this is my first time doing broadcasts, like a podcast. And I did podcasts before, if you want to join me when I do podcasts.
Yeah, sure. Let us know. You know, let the people listening. I'm not saying there's like millions of them out there listening, but if you wanna plug your show, go ahead and do it. That's fine with me.
You know, I don't mind that. What's your name?
Yeah, my name's Joe, and I'm running this. What do we call it? We've changed the name of it. It was the Loose Cannon podcast. It then turned into the See You Next Tuesday Society podcast, and it stayed with that mainly because the guy that I normally work with, he's normally available on a Tuesday, and it's about the only day when we can really get together and talk about the things that are dear to our heart. And the things dear to our heart really are to do with soccer and particularly Arsenal Football Club. Because of, yeah, that's where we're coming from. But yeah, I mean, feel free to plug something else because I'm just glad you're the second person that's actually joined us, and we've only really been doing it on Spotify and a lot of the other places in recent weeks. So what's your podcast called?
My podcast called The Crab. It says called The Crab. I'm going to be talking about CTA and two shows that is going to be weak. So I want to tell you about this though. Like, I work at CNN. And I was a little disappointed of the iCarly reboot because they're bringing back Sinead McCurry, Miranda Cosgrove, and Nathan Kress. But they're not bringing back Gibby or Sinead McCurry and Gibby are not going to be a part of it. when Nathan Quest and Sally Trainer and Miranda Cosgrove is going to be a part of it. If they're not going to bring the show back 100%, then why are they going to bring it back in the first place?
Yeah, exactly. But I tell you what, we're going to move on that note because, yeah, I mean, I know football's not your thing or soccer's not your thing, so we're going to move on because this is the place to get ranting. If you want to say something about Arsenal Football Club in particular or football in general, this is the place to do it.
I watched on one of my tapes, there was an old tape I have, like 2009 or 5, a soccer game that was aired on ABC at the time. And it went the Royal Cup series. Do you ever see that, the Royal Cup series?
No, I'm not too sure I've seen that, to be honest. I'm not going to lie. It's not one of those games that I've or shows that I've seen. I don't recall. I mean, I've spent time in America, but that passed me by. So unfortunately, but yeah, one last plug then. What's your podcast, just in case somebody wants to connect with you on that? What is it?
Do you ever watch old things? Do you ever watch like ABC7 in the 90s?
AB7 in the 90s. If I have, I don't remember it too well. So at the moment, I'll tell you what's really on my mind at the moment. It's Amazon Prime, because that's where a lot of Arsenal fans are. They're watching Amazon Prime, and for good reason as well. I mean, I'm not sure the best platform to watch. I don't watch that much television. I only really watch football games, and that's about it. But Amazon Prime. If anybody's got any views on their coverage of the Arsenal game, I'm going to disconnect you now, but thanks for joining us. So basically, if you've got any views on Amazon Prime and their coverage of the Arsenal versus Brighton game, or even the previous game, which was, I think, Arsenal versus Southampton, do let me know about that. But thank you anyway for those people that are joining me today. There's a few. Martin, big shout out to you. And the more the merrier today, because, yeah, I'm just basically connecting anyone because my theory is this. You can't really swear a lot more than Fizzy, can you? Because Fizzy's a regular guy, but he's not here today, and I don't know if he's listening or not. He should be back in the new year because he's taking his well-earned break, getting away from football, just at the time when Arsenal start winning games. And timing is odd, isn't it, when you think about it like that. But, yeah, I'm obviously... I feel weird, you know, not without Alex here. So, yeah, so I've just got a message from he's going to do his podcast now. I think FAE is such a long number. I'm sorry, I can't give you that full number because I'll be here all night. But I probably will be anyway because, yeah, there's things to celebrate moving into. There's not a lot to celebrate, is there, what with COVID and all the rest of it? But there's things to celebrate on the Arsenal front. At last, we've been waiting a long time for this. And... So I mean to celebrate. I don't care how we do it. We're going to do it somehow. Because what we need to celebrate most of all is the youngsters, as I was saying, from Alex's point of view, he's been saying this for a long time, or Fizzy, as he's otherwise known as. In my case, I haven't been saying it as much, although I did appreciate the efforts of Saka prior to these last couple of games. Obviously, Saka was instrumental in setting up the only goal of the game against Brighton. So I've been one mostly asking for a balanced approach. I didn't really feel that Arteta should just throw in the youngsters and keep his fingers crossed and hope it's all going to work out just because the youngsters work hard. To me, that doesn't give them the pedigree to walk in the team and just smash it, as it were. But guess what? That's what they did really against Chelsea. So I have to say, I called it wrong. I wasn't one of those guys that, as much as I liked Emil Smith-Rowe, as much as I liked him, I don't think I would have played him against Chelsea. And I've always liked Emil. I've always thought he's a good player. But when I watched him in the Europa League, I just thought, yeah, he's good, but he's not that good. He's not really making a huge impact against these lesser teams. So how is he going to make an impact against Chelsea? But the guy stepped up to the plate. He looks the real deal, and he looked the real deal to me against Brighton as well. I don't know what the pundits were saying. It seemed like they weren't totally sold on him against Brighton. But to me, he's like, what really gets to me is there's all this hype about Jack Grealish. Surely Emil was as good as Jack. In my opinion, yeah, okay, Jack's got a few more games under his belt. And on that note as well, I do want to say this, and I'll put it on the website. I really feel like Jack Grealish is trying to engineer himself a move to Arsenal. And maybe he's out there listening to this, because all of a sudden there's lots of people listening. I don't know why. But thanks for listening anyway. So that's who's the latest listener to join us? Troncat, thank you for entering the live studio. Anyway, I still feel that, you know, Jack Grealish, he really wants to move to Arsenal. You might ask yourself, why would he want to do that? I have not many answers, but I have a couple. First of all, sorry to say this, any Brummies out there, but if you're going to compare Birmingham to London, you need to get a life, really, because London is one of the greatest cities to live in. There's no doubt about it. Yeah, there's a lot of crime, but so there is a lot of crime in Birmingham too. Birmingham's not a bad city, don't get me wrong, but who's going to choose Birmingham over London? I don't think there are too many people out there that can do that. Unless they're born in Birmingham, they've got a connection with the area, then maybe it's different. But London is a great city to live in as far as cities go. And I like the city life. So, yeah, I think London's pretty cool. So you're going to choose London. Plus, Arsenal got a massive tradition. Okay, Aston Villa have two. I'm saying all these things, and don't get me wrong, I think maybe some of you are thinking, oh, he really wants to get Jack Grealish signed for Arsenal. That's not true at all. I'd rather stick with Emil. I think Jack Grealish is overhyped. I don't know if he's overpaid. I wouldn't go that far, but he's certainly going to cost an awful lot of money on the transfer front if Arsenal do try to sign him. I personally don't think it's going to happen, but you never know. It might. There's stranger things have happened at sea, as they say. So don't be at all surprised. I just find it really bizarre that Jack Grealish is doing all this talking to Saka about his goal against Chelsea, saying it was a fluke. Obviously, Saka seems to be saying it wasn't a fluke. My view at the time, and please chip in if you've got any views, if you're too shy to log in and talk, do drop me a line and I'll say what you're writing. I'll repeat it. But my view on Saka is that I actually thought he meant it. I don't know. He meant it to some degree. So let me qualify that. He meant it to some degree. I think he was possibly looking at a cross. I think he did notice the keeper's off his line. And there wasn't a lot on at the time. So I've got a lot of belief in Saka's ability. Therefore, I want to go down the route of believing that was a genuine goal and it was no fluke. However, I could be proved wrong in later years because, as you'd expect, Saka will come out one day and go, actually, I know you all thought it was a real effort from me, but actually it was a cross that went wrong and it ended up in the net. I just don't think that was the case. I think the guy's got enough talent. He's almost Maradona-esque at times. How can he possibly fluke that goal? I just find it hard to believe. So I'm gonna credit Saka for that. And anyone that disagrees, they're free to disagree. Who's not? But I just see it as a unique goal, an unusual goal, a goal that we will remember for many, many years to come. And of course, beating Chelsea was against the odds. I think last time we recorded the See You Next Tuesday Society podcast, it was in fact on the Tuesday rather than the Wednesday. Obviously, the game was on was yesterday, so it was difficult to do both at the same time. It's not impossible. If you want to drop me a line on that, perhaps I can make it possible. But anyway, at that time, it wasn't a time of optimism, was it? It looked like a relegation battle. I was starting to write on the blog the R word. I've never done that before. Never ever have I ever considered Arsenal as relegation candidates. And I was finding it very difficult even on this occasion. Although I would say there was a time, this kind of shows my age, but there was a time in the 70s when Arsenal were flirting with relegation. Maybe not to the same level that they have been in the last couple of weeks, but it was looking quite dire at times. And this was, again, a team that had won not just the FA Cup. This team had won the double, and it was disintegrating so quickly. Quite honestly, I've never really seen anything like it. It was shocking, actually. How could a team that had won the double suddenly be flirting with relegation? And The thing is, there was a precedent for it as well. Before that double winning team of 71, and then I'm not sure exactly what year it was when Arsenal flirted with relegation, around about 74, 75, there was a precedent for it because Manchester United had won the European Cup, you know, the equivalent of the Champions League now. They'd won that in what, I don't know what years, late 60s. And then early 70s, they got relegated. Now, you know, it was good to be alive at that time, to be honest. It was pretty good to be alive. But the only problem was Manchester United bounced straight back, won the league at a canter. And then they became a force in English football once more after just one season down. And at that time, if I remember correctly, people were saying the only two teams that hadn't faced a drop or been relegated were Manchester United and Arsenal. And then, of course, that left just Arsenal. And the only other team that's been up in the not just Premier League, but the top flight for a very long time is Everton. And they don't look like relegation fodder right now, do they? Let's be honest. So, what was I talking about? I'm beginning to forget now. But, yeah, I was going to talk to you about these recent games. But the Chelsea game, obviously, everybody was so impressed with that performance. Totally blown away by it. And a lot of it was down to the pressing. The pressing was spectacular in as much as players didn't seem to run out of legs at any stage. Even Xhaka sort of put shift in. And I thought, what is going on? That's rare. That's quite a rare thing to see that. It's almost like a blue moon. So I was looking out the window. I didn't see a blue moon because it was red, wasn't it? Because Arsenal won that game quite well. I wouldn't like to say quite comfortably. But some pundits have said, well, wait a minute. Arsenal fans, including Fizzy, if you're listening, have been complaining or bemoaning the fact that Arsenal just keep throwing crosses into the box in more hope than anything else that something's going to come of it. But then, guess what? Chelsea started that same approach. It didn't really work. And when you think about Arsenal's goals, well, how did they come about? The first one, I'd like to say something about that. The goal when Tierney was felled in the penalty area. Now, my view is slightly different, as in a lot different from Jimmy Floyd Hasselbank, ex-Chelsea player, of course, and even Ian Wright, because Wrighty said, if we conceded a penalty like that, I'd be very upset. Now, me personally, I've seen Arsenal concede an awful lot of penalties that are much softer than that one, so I didn't really agree with Wrighty, and that's rare. I usually agree. It's not just because he's a legend. I just agree with him because he talks a lot of sense. On this occasion, it's one of the few times when I had to call. Well, I didn't call out Wrighty because I don't know him personally. But if he'd been there, I said, Wrighty, listen, sorry, mate, you got that one wrong. Because there were, I mean, Tierney got touched twice. Not once, but twice. He not only got clipped, and when I say got clipped, it wasn't much of a touch, but Tierney was going at speed and he got clipped. There's no doubt. I think Wrighty was just being nice to Jimmy Floyd in the studio. And that's the reason why he said what he said. However, he did get clipped. He went down and penalty. And he not only got clipped, as I was saying, there were two contacts because there was also a swinging arm that touched him as well. And this, if you're running at speed and you get clipped and touched, you know, so you get basically upper torso touched and ankles clipped. So what are you supposed to do? Stay on your feet in the penalty area? I don't think so. So from my perspective, that was a penalty all day long. And if they'd have said it wasn't a penalty, I would have been furious, actually. Totally furious. So I was a little shocked that Ian Wright said, no, maybe it wasn't a penalty. They even had in the studio an ex-referee, I'm trying to think of his name now, Dermot Gallagher. Dermot Gallagher was in the studio. He totally agreed it should be a penalty. The reason being, he said, He didn't think it was strong enough. The case against was not strong enough to overturn the referee's decision. So that says it all, really. Dermot Gallagher is a well-respected ex-referee, and there aren't many of them about. So if he's saying it's a penalty, it's a penalty. So I don't see how anybody, even an Arsenal legend, they cannot disagree with that. So then Laka turns up, steps up to the spot. And I just thought, this guy, he's been out of the team. I've always called Laka a superstar. Lacazette, to me, has been a superstar from the day he arrived until this day. And I didn't know whether he's going to score or not. But he seemed pretty calm. And that must have taken some nerve for him to just strike the ball as well as he did. It was a pretty good penalty. You can't knock it. And he was up against a goalkeeper that was making the goal appear incredibly small. So, again, I've said hats off earlier. Hats off again, this time to Lacazette, because Lacazette, Arsenal wouldn't have won that game without Lacazette. That's all I can say. It was incredible from the position of poise for him to go in there and just keep that amount of cool and being calm and collected at a time when Arsenal have been panicking for so long and panicking particularly about scoring goals. For him to do it the way he did it, score with aplomb like that, it really says something about the man's character. So don't even get me started on character, because those of you that may have read the website will know, or the blog, will know that this is a hot topic at the moment, character. Because even though Xhaka had a great game against Chelsea, or maybe that's pushing it too far, a very good game against Chelsea and an average game against Brighton, he wasn't a liability. Just he passed the ball into touch only once, I remember. It was a five-yard pass, by the way. But anyway, let's not go there. So he's not been too bad in the last two games. However, I still wish he could just apologise for some of his ridiculous behaviour on the pitch. We won't go back as far as the shirt throwing and all the rest of that. Let's not dig that one up again. But getting a silly red card like he did not so very long ago, you would think, in a normal situation, you would apologise for doing that, wouldn't you? That's what a normal human being would do. But Granit feels that he's above that for whatever reason. And I know Alex is not a huge fan either. He's fizzy. He calls him, what's he calling him? A full F-A-U-X, full hard man. And maybe he is. Maybe he is that. I don't know. I don't want to sound like I'm so blasé about those things, but if someone said to me, oh, well, Shaka's so furious with what you said, he's after you, it would be about the same level. I don't know if you've ever seen Eddie Murphy when he did an impression of Michael Jackson, and he said he got told Michael Jackson was after him, and he said, so, you know, I think I would probably take a similar attitude. Yeah, but you know, that is very blasé, and maybe Shaka would have a similar opinion, of course, if he was in my shoes. But anyway, I'm getting a little bit sidetracked there, so I should give myself a slap on the wrist, be humble, say sorry. So if you're out there listening, sorry about digressing. But I do tend to digress. So in a sense, perhaps I'm going to do a Shaka and not really apologise that much. But let's look ahead maybe to possible transfers. I already mentioned the possibility of signing Jack Grealish. I don't really want that to happen, because I think it'd be extremely overpriced. I think if he did come, it would be in the region of £90 million. Also, I haven't got that sort of money. The point is, as has been said on the net, I have seen it, Arsenal are unlikely to sign anybody until they've offloaded some of the dead wood, as it were. Like Socrates has to go. No disrespect to Socrates, because I think in the games I've seen, he's not been too bad. I have nothing against Socrates as a footballer. I think he's decent. Maybe he's not quite good enough for what Arteta wants. Me personally, I would not be kicking Socrates out. Just saying. I think he's a strong defender. I think he puts defence first. Maybe he's not a great ball player. I don't know the reasons why Socrates cannot make the first team. He's not astoundingly good, but he's, to me as a defender, sorry to say, I think he's better than Xhaka is as a midfielder. That's my own personal view of Socrates. I don't think it's too bad. And I keep knocking Xhaka, but I don't think it's that bad either. A pair of them. They're just sort of average. By Arsenal standards, average is better than average, obviously. But by Arsenal standards, both of these players are sort of average-ish. So I wouldn't get rid of him, but it seems like his time's up. So it's curtains for Socrates. So we shall wish him good luck, goodbye, and God bless. Then we come to, obviously, the elephant in the room, a very small, thin elephant who doesn't do a lot of running. Ozil does a lot of fortnighting. And yeah, I know that's been said a lot, so it's a cheap jibe, really. So, sorry. So, I'm being humble, apologising. But Ozil, No, I don't know what's going to happen to him. There's been a lot of talk of Fenerbahce signing him, but then why didn't that happen in the summer? Is it really going to happen in January? Depends how desperate Fenerbahce are. If they're really desperate, perhaps they'll sign him. Perhaps Arsenal will subsidise his wages. That would make an awful lot of sense if they did that, especially if he were to go to a foreign club, which is in everybody's interest. Nobody wants him to move up the road to Spurs, although maybe some Spurs fans would like to sign him. Who knows? Perhaps he could do a good job with a new lease of life. The guy has talent. There's no doubt in his talent. It's the application. There's been a huge amount of question marks about how applied he is. Right, Minu wants to connect. So let's hear what you've got to say, Minu. Hello, can you hear me, Minu?
Oh, yes, I can hear you. Hi.
Yeah, hi. Yeah, thanks for joining us. Quite a few
Thank
people
you so
wanna...
much.
Yeah. Do you support Arsenal? Do you also, watch football?
Actually, I'm not interested to watch football, but I love Messi.
Oh, you love Messi. Okay.
Yes.
Well, Arsenal would like to sign Messi. There's no doubt about that. Yeah, if only we could sign Messi, that would be such a bonus. It would be so much better than, so much better than anyone else we could possibly sign. It's not looking very likely, though, I have to say. So, do you ever watch Arsenal games? Do you watch? Not really. Or
actually, I don't like. I'm not much interested to see football, but yeah. I love to watch cricket.
Oh, cricket! Okay.
Yeah.
Well, once Arsenal get a cricket team, once Arsenal get a cricket team, I'll let you know about it. But yeah, but thanks for joining us, Minu, and really appreciate hearing your voice, because yeah, it's always good to hear from people out there. So thanks for that. Okay, so yeah, moving on. Just going to say as well, yeah, thanks again, Minu. And you know, I do like to hear from the people out there that are listening, even if they're not Arsenal fans. We try and convert you. That's the idea. We're trying our best to get you on board with the program. But anyway, the program for tonight, as I said, I was going to talk about the recent games. Chelsea have more or less covered most of it, but I think I haven't covered every single point. So I've talked about the Lacazette goal. And and thank you, Minu, and thanks again for your contribution. It was really good to hear a different voice other than my own, because at the moment it's a bit of a one-man band because Alex, otherwise known as Fizzy, has not been able to make it. He did say so in advance, so therefore no real surprises there. And Minu, if you want me to plug anything, please just let me know. And anybody else who wants me to plug a show, just let me know and I can do that. But yeah, I was, what happened? I've suddenly gone a little blank. So the first goal was key, wasn't it? So there was that, of course, my friend Xhaka scored the second goal from a free kick. And did anybody see that come in? I'm not so sure, because I did say to Alex a few times, just to cover my back here, I said to Alex a number of times when he's here ranting like he does, I've said to him so many times, yeah, but Xhaka has one thing in his locker. And what's that? A free kick. He can take a decent dead ball. Well, how often? Well, you know, one in 50 free kicks is quite good, or maybe devastatingly good. In this case, it was perfectly placed. So Xhaka, I have to praise Xhaka. I have to do it, because he deserves it. He deserves a praise for that goal. It was an incredible goal. His performance was very good on the day. He didn't let the team down, far from it. He did a lot, as did all the players, which brings me to the point about Paul Merson. Paul Merson is a guy that I've seen. If you ever want to watch somebody put together an after dinner speaking session, Paul Merson's the guy to do it. It's so funny. So I have an awful lot of time for Paul Merson. And yeah, I'd like to, he should send me a ticket for one of his after dinner speeches, because Paul, if you're listening, not saying you would be, but just saying, if you were listening, I'll laugh at anything. So just send me a ticket to your to your show, and I'll be there. I'll be laughing. Just trust me. I'll laugh more at you than I laugh at my own jokes. And that's saying something. So yeah, I think Paul Merson called it right when he said what was going on? Why was Aubameyang, I struggle to pronounce even after all this time, why was he in the starting lineup when the team that beat Chelsea was good enough to beat Chelsea? Why are they not good enough to beat Brighton? And you know what? I can't even answer that. Can't answer that question because there's no logic in it for me. Why drop? I've said on my blog as well, I've said that Aubameyang is one of those players that you have to love Aubameyang. He's just incredible. He's not just as a footballer, as a person as well. So I do understand why. I really do understand why Arteta didn't want to drop Aubameyang. I wouldn't want to drop him either. But how do you drop a winning team when they're beating Chelsea, who are one of the high flyers in the league, certainly in comparison to Arsenal, but then that's nearly everyone. How do you drop Lacazette when Lacazette had the calm, the calm personality to put the ball in the net as well as the skill against Chelsea, who have a decent goalkeeper, it has to be said. A goalkeeper that makes a goal look small. To me, that epitomises a decent goalkeeper. So when I look back on that, it was a very strange decision. And I don't like to be critical of Arteta because people that have listened to this podcast before will know that I have so much respect for Arteta, not only as a manager, but as a person again, and as a footballer, ex-footballer. To me, when he arrived at Arsenal those years ago, it was just after the drubbing at Old Trafford, he was arguably the best signing of all, and there were a number of signings. Per Mertesacker joined at the same time. There were around about five signings joining the club, and to me, the best signing of all, arguably, was Arteta. I really didn't see him put a foot wrong, and I was at a lot of games at that time. I think I saw, I don't even know how many games I saw, but I was attending a lot of matches at that time. So I saw the work he'd do on the pitch. He wasn't one of those sort of players that run around everywhere like a headless chicken. He wasn't like that. His energy level, because of his age, I don't think it was that high, but it wasn't as low as Xhaka, sorry to bring him back again, but Xhaka's never far away, is he? But when I look at it like that, yeah, he wasn't a ball of energy. But you know, the great thing about Arteta for me was that his passing was precise. So you knew that when Arteta had the ball, you weren't going to lose the ball. Possession was everything to Arteta as a footballer. I never heard him say that, by the way, but just looking at him play, that was the impression he gave me. So I was so pleased when Arsenal brought him in as a manager, not just because he was an excellent player, but there was something about him. He was coolness personified, a bit like Lacazette was at the, you know, when he took that penalty. There was, and when he also scored against Brighton, which was, he made it look so easy, Lacazette. He just, the way he side-footed the ball home, there's something to be said for somebody that has that level of calm and cool attitude to be able to do that under pressure. The score was 0-0 on both occasions, and he made it look like a piece of cake, really. So there you got your English idiom if you're looking for that. So he made it look so simple, and that to me makes him a consummate professional, and I'm full of praise for Lacazette in particular. But yeah, looking at, I think, you know, I have been talking a long time, so unless anyone wants to break in, I'll probably wind up soon, but not just yet. I did say I was going to talk about transfer news, but my true thoughts on this is what transfer news? There's really not going to be any transfer news, in my opinion, other than Ozil will stay. So is that transfer news? I don't think so. Socrates might get picked up. Then there will still be one player that's still not in the squad, which will be Ozil. And I think Arsenal will stop with Ozil. I just don't see him going anywhere. He'll just see out his contract, and then he'll maybe become a professional Fortnite player. Who knows? I've heard Ozil's a really nice guy, so I should really stop criticising him like that. So I'll give myself a slap on the wrist on that. And I know he gives to charity, but then so do a lot of other footballers. So that doesn't win me over. But what did win me over slightly? Well, one, Ozil on his day was pretty amazing, but we just haven't seen enough of those days. No one's knocking Ozil's talent. So please do bear that in mind. The thing about Ozil as well, I just think some of the tweets, I don't think he's necessarily meant to undermine the club, but the effect of him having this huge social media presence hasn't been a really good thing for Arteta. It sometimes seems, not to me, because I don't really spend an awful lot of time on social media, but to those that do, they tell me that Ozil, inadvertently, he doesn't mean to do it, but inadvertently Ozil is undermining the club because he's tweeting so often, or whatever he does on social media. I don't know what the term is, but he's doing a lot of it, getting a lot of attention, and it's detracting from what the boys are doing on the pitch. And the boys, the last couple of games, doing something pretty amazing. And yeah, key word there being boys. Obviously, Alex Fizzy is always saying, Maitland-Niles should play. Well, obviously, he had a cameo role in the Brighton victory, but he's not really figured that much, not as much as somebody perhaps with the amount of talent he's got would expect. So there's him, but then Smith-Rowe playing a big part now. Saka still playing a big role. The only problem with Saka is obviously he picked up an injury against Brighton, and we haven't heard too much about that. So that's a little bit of a worry going into the West Brom game. So I really should get on to the West Brom game. I talked a fair bit about Brighton, not that much, but it was pretty dull. Overall, I felt the game could have gone either way. The Chelsea game, Arsenal deserved to win that. The Brighton game, maybe just about deserved a 1-0. They had more class than Brighton, in my opinion. But I think it's controversial to say that Arsenal really deserved the 3 points there. I think a little bit of luck played its part. But the boys dug deep and they deserve something from it, you could argue. And Auba was pretty good, actually. People have criticised him. I don't quite know why. I think he put in a decent shift. He nearly scored as well. Let's not forget that. He was very, very close to scoring. So I just think I want to shout out to Reza, who's entered the live studio, and Jenny entered the live studio. If you want to join us, I'm not too sure what buttons you press, but just press those buttons and I will let you speak if that's what you want to do. So, yeah, just going back, I was talking about transfer news. It sort of merged into the Brighton game, which we don't tend to have a lot to shout about, do we, lately? But the Brighton game was a victory I didn't see happening. The Chelsea game was a victory I didn't see happening. So plenty to celebrate from an Arsenal perspective, at least. So, yeah, I was going to talk about the transfer news, but ultimately it just seems that there isn't any genuine transfer news. There is. I read today that Arsenal might sign a player who's worth about £500,000, who's a teenager. I could see that kind of deal happening. That may well happen. But I don't see any big names joining Arsenal unless, is it a big unless, a big caveat, if Arsenal can offload those players like Ozil, who's on a huge amount of money, of course that frees up wages and more for Arsenal to sign players that will make a huge difference immediately. And the situation at the moment is bizarre, really, when you think about Gabriel, who did make a huge difference. Hello to Sachin, who's just entered the live studio. And he made a huge difference, but ultimately, he's now isolated. I believe he has got COVID. There's been, I think the Spurs-Fulham game has just been called off due to that as well. So that's pretty frightening. Oh, Sachin wants to say something. I wonder if he's a Spurs fan. I don't know why I've got a feeling. It's because, Sachin, you've got a lot of white on your icon. Sachin, can you hear me? Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Can you turn your mic up a little bit? Because I can hear you, but it's kind of quiet. Right. Yeah, that's a little bit better. So which team do you support, Sachin?
I'm from India and spoke in English.
Yeah, so do you follow football at all? Do you like football?
Sorry?
Do you like football? Do you watch football very much?
Yeah, no, not that much, but I know about little about football, like Messi and Ronaldo.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So I think we're going to leave it there, Sachin. But yeah, thank you for joining us. I appreciate you being involved and saying something, because it's good to hear from you. But yeah, well, strictly speaking, we've got to talk about Arsenal mainly. All right. But it's great to hear from you. Thank you very much, Sachin. And yeah, if you've got anything you want me to plug, just please let me know, and I will definitely do that. So you can write your comments, and then I will plug, pretty much anything, as long as I know it's semi-decent. That's good enough for me. But yeah, just going back anyway to the Brighton game. Well, I've sort of totally lost where I was. Yeah, the Brighton game. You know, was it a well-deserved victory? I'm not sure. And going back again to the, I'm really struggling without Alex here, as you can see or hear. We're going back to the transfer news. My view is there won't be any transfer news. Nothing major. Sorry to disappoint you out there, those that were expecting to hear something much more favourable, much more optimistic. Maybe the results will continue to go Arsenal's way, and that's really all we can hope for, I think. So, yeah, the breaking news is Tottenham Fulham has been called off because of COVID. I don't know which team is suffering the most. And obviously, I think many of you already know that the Everton-Manchester City game has been called off. I think the COVID outbreaks on the City side. So it's not a really good time, is it, for football, I suppose, or any sport, but they're doing the best they can. You've got to give them credit for that. I'm just trying to see if there's any interesting breaking football news. It's probably going to be nonsense, so I'm a little bit loath to even bring it to you. But here we go. Okay, this comes from HITC. Oh, this is such nonsense. Report from HITC.com. Arsenal are considering a move for Philippe Coutinho, ex-Liverpool player. They are considering a move to sign the Barcelona playmaker, it said, blah, 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 blah. And do I really need to read that? I'm not even sure. Okay, Minu wants to come back, I think. Right, Minu? Hello, Minu. You're back again.
Yes, I am.
Yes, I can hear you now. So, yeah, I was just talking about, because you know this guy, Coutinho, right? Because you like Barcelona. So Coutinho, yes, is he, would you be upset? Would you be very sad if he left Barcelona and joined Arsenal? Would you be very sad about
it? Not very much.
Yeah, not very much. So he's not doing very well at Barcelona? Because I don't really know, I haven't watched him very much recently.
I think they are not performing well recently.
Oh, okay. Yeah, so maybe. So do you think there's some truth in the story that Coutinho could join Arsenal? Is there any truth in that? Is it maybe? Oh, Minu, you've gone. But anyway, thanks for joining us. I didn't cut you off there, actually, just to let you know, but I liked that contribution because it made me feel really cheerful, you know, to think that Coutinho would join Arsenal. Arsenal do arguably need a playmaker, because in the last game, the playmaker was a youngster who did very well, Smith Rowe. And at this stage, you can't say for sure how long can he keep this level of performance up, because he's a youngster. A lot of people don't even consider that, I have to say. When you've got a lot of young players all playing at the same time, I think it's a tall order to expect them to perform at the top level the whole time. I'm just looking at another news story, something else interesting to bring you, but it seems like scrolling down forever and not much to say. I did want to say something about Gabriel Martinelli. Gabriel Martinelli's another top-rated teenager. And he's done pretty well, but I didn't think he was that amazing against Brighton. Compared to Chelsea, he was a thorn in Chelsea's side. So when looking ahead to the West Brom game, because I will probably call it, I'll probably log out of this podcast pretty soon. But before I do that, I did want to talk about the up-and-coming West Brom game. And I do want to sound a note of caution, because the thought is, it seems, because, and I think this is completely wrong, but just because West Brom got smashed by Leeds in their last game, That doesn't mean they're going to turn up and just open the floodgates and let Arsenal score as many goals as they want. Doesn't mean that at all. In fact, it means quite the opposite. The experience I have of football is when a team loses by an awful lot of goals, as was the case with West Brom, they will, in fact, they'll basically park a bus in front of the goal. I think Mourinho used that line, first of all. They will park a bus and it will be so difficult for Arsenal to score against West Brom. I'm not saying they can't do it. Of course they can. Arsenal have some of the best forwards in the world, although they haven't been playing like it until Lacazette stepped up to the plate. So perhaps he's playing like it, but the rest of them are not. They're not scoring goals left, right and centre, are they? You're lucky. As an Arsenal fan, you're lucky to see one goal scored lately. That's how it is. But yeah, anyway, that's how I'm seeing it. Anyway, I think the West Brom game is going to be a lot tougher than people realise. And I've got to say something else, which I've also put on the blog. The thing that mostly worries me, even though Arsenal have this have come back, it's almost like an Arsenal renaissance, if you like. Despite all of that, I'm still worried if really I'm almost ready to pray that this doesn't happen. But the number one thing that I've been worried about lately is Leno. Not that he's not playing well. He's playing extremely well. He's playing almost too well. If something happened to him, I don't even want to think about it. I don't want to criticise the new guy, although I have on the blog, I have to be honest. It's Runarsson, I believe. He's just not really looked the real deal the last couple of games. And it wasn't just Manchester City. It was Dundalk. He looked very shaky against Dundalk. And I know I aired my views on that. And he's still young. He could still improve and so on. But he looked extremely shaky. I don't recall seeing anyone quite that shaky in an Arsenal shirt, to be honest. So for that reason, I did put something on the web that said, why don't we put a cutout of Leno on the bench? So yeah, okay, maybe that was a little too harsh. So again, I'm going to do something that Shaka never does. Apologise. Sorry about that. If it's offensive, it was meant as a joke. I'm not writing off Runarsson just yet. It's too early to do that. So it was just a joke. So in reality, I hope the guy proves me wrong, as many other players have. But what I've seen so far hasn't filled me with glee, joy, or any positive feeling. And I really feel, yeah, he kind of survived against Dundalk. He only let one goal in, but still, maybe he's just having a bad run and everybody's entitled to do that. But when you're in goal, it's very, very hard, especially when you don't have that much experience. But Arsenal have seen something in him. I don't think Arsenal's recruitment's been quite as bad as people want to make out. But so far, I'd have to say Fabianski was never a favourite goalkeeper of mine. He went on to do reasonably well at other clubs like West Ham and Swansea. For me, he wasn't really a top keeper and never really was. And I don't think he ever will be. To me, that was just my view. And Runarsson is... Well, let's just wait and see, shall we? Anyway, just to finish with a bit of transfer news, perhaps. This might make a few of you want to speak to me or speak to those people listening out there. Arsenal will make Spain forward Isco their top target in the January transfer window, according to AS of Spain. Everton are also interested in the 28-year-old. Oh, he's only 28. Seems like he's been around forever. I've been reporting on Isco signing for a Premier League club, it feels like, for 10 years or more. So is he really 28? I'm reading this from the Irish Examiner, by the way. Other players that could be moving on. This is interesting. I don't see them joining Arsenal. Dele Alli and Hugo Lloris could be moving from Spurs to Paris Saint-Germain. That's not really, strictly speaking, Arsenal news, but would they sell those players to Arsenal? I wouldn't mind seeing them. I wanted Lloris years ago. And Dele Alli, I think, is a decent player. He's only 24, Dele Alli, but I can't see them doing that deal. So, the Spurs-Fulham game was off with just 3 hours' notice, and the COVID outbreak is in the Fulham camp. I'm only bringing that to you because breaking news. And also because some people have been mentioning Messi, who I'd love to see in an Arsenal shirt, but doesn't seem likely. Sounds like he wants to join Paris Saint-Germain and have a reunion with Argentinian teammates. So that's what I'm reading. Meanwhile, this is a bit of Arsenal news, so that's relevant to us. Mikel Arteta insists that Arsenal's transfer plans will not be affected by the back-to-back wins. As in, my view is nothing's going to happen on that front, but we shall wait and see with bated breath. As long as it doesn't smell too bad, bated breath must be fine. Right, anybody else out there want to talk? So perhaps not. So let's just look at what did I write down for what team did I want to play against West Brom just before my head off into the sunset, as it were. Well, Leno in goal. Leno, Carbo cut out on the bench. Right back, Bellerin. Centre-backs, Pablo Mari did pretty well, although he looked like he was going to get sent off at one stage against Brighton. I really thought that was going to happen. Luckily, it didn't. However, he did give away a penalty. Alongside Holding. Holding, I think, is a revelation. I know Alex Fizzy doesn't necessarily agree with that, but I think Holding is the real deal. I'd certainly keep him. Left back, no one disagrees with this. Tierney. So if there's four at the back, they will be the four. I would stick with Xhaka, even though I'm not Granit Xhaka, even though I'm not a huge fan. I'd stick with him. I'd certainly stick with Elneny, even though he gifted the ball to Brighton at one stage. I'd stick him in the team. Not to gift the opposition a goal, but his work rate is absolutely phenomenal. And I think huge credit to Elneny for working so hard for the team. Then should Saka be free, I'd stick him on the right. Just to basically stick more or less with the same team that played against Brighton. And on the left, I'd pick Auba. Auba, I can never say his full name, so I'll stick with Auba. And then, Smith Rowe deserves to start again. And up front, Laka. I'd put Lacazette in. So Martinelli, unfortunately, I know he's a talent, but I'd have to drop him to the bench. Can't play everybody, can we? So that was kind of eventful, I suppose, in ways that I hadn't even thought possible. But I do want to say a big thanks to those people that joined the show, said a little bit. Thank you in particular to Minu, who said a few things about Philippe Coutinho. So I really appreciate hearing from you on that. Big shout out to Jenny, Sachin. And we heard from Sachin as well, so big shout out to you. And anybody else out there that heard us talking today, Reza as well, entered the live studio. So a big shout out to everybody. And if I get a chance to do another one, round about Tuesday or Wednesday next week. And then after that, Fizzy is back. Yay! Right, until the next time. Adios, amigos.